Did you know that God is a bird watcher? Did you know that God loves the birds? I was actually shocked how many references there is in the Bible about the birds. God actually made a commandment about the birds. In Deuteronomy, when Israel is going from Egypt, from slavery, into freedom in the promised land, God gives them a command. He says, when you walk by a tree, you see a nest, and there's a bird sitting on the eggs. Do not touch it, for I'm the Lord your God, and I'm going to bless you for that. God cares about the birds. All right? Jesus talked about the birds. So look at this. Look at the birds. Apparently, nature is supposed to teach us, human beings, something. The nature that cannot think on a level we can, the nature that cannot calculate on a level that we can teach us humans something about life and something about freedom. Amen. Amen. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And listen to this. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? God is a bird watcher. How many of you love watching birds? I gotta make a confession. When I was a teenager, somebody gave me a gun. And guess what a teenager wants to do with that gun? Immediately. Go outside and shoot some birds. That's the only thing you can find. And I remember, now, if you love animals, don't judge me. I was young and stupid. And I went outside and I shot a bird. It was a sparrow, I believe. And when I saw him, I felt so guilty that I just love birds now. Actually, I have a conflict because I have a gun and I want to go shooting. One side of me as a man, as a hunter, wants to go and find something to shoot. There's another side of me, the warm, fuzzy side of me that wants to love those birds and protect them. And when our cats, we have cats, and they love to sit in the grass in the summer. And as the swallows, barn swallows, come swooping in, they like to jump on them. And guess what? I would kick a cat faster than a bird. So if my cat were ever to catch, and I wouldn't kick a cat, Jane. I love cats. And but I will protect the birds. And if the bird is hurt, I will do whatever I can to hold it and protect it for a while, at least, till I'm ADD, so I'll find something else really quick. But anyway, we're talking about freedom today. Did you know that God wants us to be free? But many of us, we don't understand what freedom is. And that's why we get caught in slavery. In Galatians chapter 5, we read this verse twice already in the last 2 weeks. It said that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But we grew up with that word. It's a free country. Liberty, pursuit of happiness. We grew up with that. But sometimes they're just words to us. Because when I look at our society, we have more people who are bound than ever before. We have more people bound to addictions, to drugs, alcohol, and things like that. We have more people bound to the flesh. We have more people bound to legal happy pills, if I could say that, than ever before. Why is it that we live in a free country and yet we're so bound? Because we don't understand freedom. I am one of those people who used to say to God, God, why? I have everything I need and I'm not happy. I'm in prison. And so today we're going to talk about what freedom really looks like. We heard verses, if Christ sets you free, you will be free indeed, right? What does that mean, Pastor? Right? You say these great things, it sounds good, I love it, but what does it mean? Freedom, what does it mean? And you know what God said? Said to me when I asked him, he said, look at the, let's put that verse, look at the birds. You want to know what freedom looks like? Look at the birds. One day I was sitting on the steps of my front porch where you go into my house, And behind me, there's a big nest right over the front door. If you've ever been to my house, you had to step over. Barn swallows are messy. How many of you know that? And we have 5 nests around our house. And one right in front. I like to think it's for good luck. When people come to my house, it's like, that's a good luck thing. They're messy. And so I've tried. And in the beginning of our marriage, I would take a broomstick and go. But those suckers are persistent. They do not stop. They just keep building. I just felt bad for them. I'm like, imagine me building a house and some joker would come and with a broomstick and try to destroy it. I would do something about it. Drop a little coal of something on his. Anyway, as I'm sitting on this concrete steps, and it's beautiful outside, but I'm not free. I don't feel free. Have you ever been free but not free? You're depressed. You're oppressed by something. You're bound by something. And for me, it wasn't an addiction. It was internal. Life was just getting so hard. Problems were overwhelming me. And guess what I did? I created a prison somewhere in here to hide from it all. And as I was sitting there on the steps and I saw these birds, barn swallows, they were flying so majestically, so beautifully, I became envious of the birds. I was looking at them. I'm like, if I could only be a bird just for a little bit. I was dreaming, hoping maybe in heaven someday I could transform into a bird for a while. Right? Because bird is what? Is a symbol of, ultimate symbol of freedom. You know that many countries have birds on their flags. In the United States, the bald eagle is our national symbol, bird. For vision, for beauty, for majestic, for strength, for freedom, for liberty, for independence. So I was looking at swallows. They're 6-inch or 8-inch, you know. And they're swooping down and up and down. And I became envious of the birds. And God says, you want to know what freedom looks like? Study the birds. I thought you need to study the Bible, Pastor. Yeah, if you're religious, yeah. Of course we need to study the Bible. And what does the Bible say? Bible doesn't have everything in it. There's something that Bible says only the birds can teach us. Ooh. You're so religious that, oh no, I can't learn anything but the Bible. No, Bible says look at the birds. Actually says look at the spiders and the mountain mice. Huh. So there's some things that nature can teach you about, and in this case, freedom, that even the Bible can't teach you. It says, look at the birds. And I heard the Holy Spirit in my spirit. It says, observe this and watch. And he told me the freedom looks something like that. The true fact is this, that the heart of every man desires freedom. But we don't know what freedom looks like. And if we don't know what freedom looks like, we will abuse the freedom and we will be in bondage once again. Christ has set us free, but if we don't know what freedom is, you will be in bondage super fast once again. And I'll explain it in a second. The world defines freedom as a life without any restrictions or restraint. I can do what I want, say anything I want with anybody, without anybody telling me what to do. The world defines freedom as life without any restraint. The world says you can have your freedom, but only by being, really the word selfish, okay? But watch this. After being freed from Egypt, Israel struggle to find what true freedom really is. Right? They were in bondage for 430 years. God set them free. 10 plagues. Walking across the Red Sea, parting before them. And you would think that Israel would discover freedom. They didn't. They fell into another bondage. And I'll show you. They thought, like we, many of us Americans think, that freedom was to do whatever I want, anytime I want, say whatever I want. That's what Israel thought. They thought freedom was for lust, pleasure, and the flesh. When you think of freedom, what do you think? If I'm honest, I want to tell you that my natural man thinks the same thing. Freedom is I can do what I want with anybody I want. I will fulfill my flesh and give it what it wants. But the truth is that it's tricky freedom, because what makes you feel good, pretty soon, what does it do? Imprisons you. Getting high feels good. Don't get me wrong. Right? It feels good, but before you know it, it imprisons you. Eating that cake, let's get closer, feels good, but before you know it, it imprisons you. It traps you. Pornography feels good, but it quickly imprisons you. So flesh is not an answer to our freedom. So watch this. Israel goes from bondage in Egypt into the desert. That's when they're free. Moses goes on a mountain to get 10 commandments. What did Israelites do on the bottom of the mountain? They build a golden calf and they started having orgies, Bible says. Look at this. There's two different ways to look at freedom. There's the way God looks at freedom, and there's the way our flesh looks at freedom. And they're totally different and totally opposite. Because God says, I'm going to give you these 10 commandments, and that will make you free. What? Pastor, I'm out of here. 10 commandments make me free? You're tripping. No, I'm not. Because 10 commandments are guardrails. If you're driving a car on a steep mountain, if you ever drove a car, I actually been to a mountain where Moses met with God. I don't know if that's the mountain. In 1999, I went to Israel and Egypt, and we went on a mountain, and the road is so steep, and there's no guardrails. And you're like, where are the guardrails? Come on, Egyptians, build some guardrails here. Have you ever been on a mountainous road where it's like, if your brakes were or if your camel were to break a leg, you would go down thousands of feet. You see what I'm saying? And you're saying, where's the guardrails? And those camels are kind of, you can't trust that. Right? And so you're on that mountain and you want guardrails. So Moses goes and he's looking for guardrails for freedom. He's looking for a way to make not just you free, but your neighbor free. See, God is about freedom for all of us, not just you. He's about your neighbor too. If your freedom is you can do whatever you want, what about your neighbor? If your freedom is I can take whatever I want from you, what about your neighbor? God is a father of all of us. Look at what Jesus said, how to pray. Pray our Father who is in our Father. Our Father. So freedom is not your thing only, it's also your neighbor's. But look at the difference. For Israel, freedom is fulfill the flesh. Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Really? My natural man, same thing. Your natural man, same thing. The more the better. Oh, let me satisfy my flesh. But before you know it, flesh will imprison you. And we have many people who've shared testimonies of addictions that they have overcome and how their flesh would just imprison and wouldn't give them freedom. And that's not the freedom Jesus Christ came to die for. That's not the type of freedom he gave. Freedom is not do whatever you want. That kind of freedom hurts you and your neighbor. So what is freedom? Well, let's look at the bird. Birds. Have you heard a phrase, free as a bird? Because birds are a symbol of freedom. As I started to watch the swallows, and as God began to speak to me about these barn swallows, I asked the question, when is the barn swallow truly free? And here is where it's not free. It's not free in the nest. It's not free in the cage. Birds were not supposed to live in cages. It's not free in the comfort, total comfort. Because cage represents comfort. You don't have to worry about what to drink, what to eat. But that's not what freedom is. Because in prison, if you've been in prison or in jail, you know that they will feed you. They will clothe you. Not how you want to be clothed, but they will clothe you. They will give you whatever you want, but that's not freedom. So some of you are like, if I had no restrictions, financial restrictions, moral restrictions, physical restrictions, I could truly be free. But in prison, they have everything they need, and yet they're not free. So freedom is not, a bird in a cage has everything she needs, but it's not free. Some of you are asking God for something He never wanted to give you in the first place. God, take care of all of my needs from now and forever. Then I'll truly enjoy life, and that's when I'm going to be free. But that's not when you're going to be free. That's why Jesus said, a life of a man, a freedom of a man, does not depend on his possessions. That's not when you're free. So what is freedom? It's not when you're just sitting in a nice house. It's not when you are in the cage, totally provided for. Every need met. You know when the bird is free? When it's in the air. And you know when it's free? It's not just when it's flying aimlessly. It's free when it's fulfilling its purpose and responsibility given by God. Freedom is not just flying. It would get boring. Even flying would get boring. Freedom is not having all your needs met. That gets boring too. Freedom is not sitting in a comfortable nest. Freedom is fulfilling your responsibility and the God-given purpose for your life. Freedom, listen to this, is in our purpose. Barn swallow is most free when it's fulfilling the purpose and responsibility that God gave it at birth. I'm going somewhere. I'm not done yet. Sometimes I sit on this steps and these swallows want to feed the bird, so they yell at you. Like, get out of the way. I'm like, fine, I'll go inside the house. They won't let me sit on the steps of my own house because they are afraid of me, so they won't feed the babies. And the babies are yelling and the mama and daddy are yelling. I'm like, really? My own house. They're fulfilling their purpose. Freedom is in fulfilling your purpose. As a pastor, one of the most often asked questions people ask me is, Pastor, what is my purpose? I want to know what my purpose is. I don't want to know what to live for, especially in the United States, I think, because in other countries, it's survive, put food on the table. In our country, we rarely worry about that anymore. We have so much. I mean, we live in nice houses. We, even the poorest of us, has 3 big screen TVs. And as a church, sometimes we want to give a gift. Like this Christmas, tons of people were asking me, I want to donate a gift to somebody. And I'm like, let me find you somebody. I'm having a hard time finding a family that's super in need. Honest truth, I had you guys messaging me, I want to buy presents for poor kids. I'm like, let me find some. No, we got it. You need some? No, we got it. Yeah, you can bring it, but eh. True story. I'm not saying we don't have needs in our community. We do. And we should be open. I mean, we should be looking for ways. I'm proud of you guys that you are looking for ways to give something, to be generous. I mean, that's our assignment. Part of our purpose. But what I'm saying is that in third world countries, they're looking to survive. We Because we have the needs met, basic human needs met. Now we're asking the question, what's next? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do with my life? I want to give you four basic purposes for men. Believer or unbeliever. Now I'm not talking just men. I'm talking women. I'm talking human. Four basic purposes for human. So if you don't know, after today, you'll know what your purpose in life is. Are you ready? All right, number one, your gender purpose. You were created by God. How those chromosomes divided in your mom's belly, I don't know. But you were created to be either a woman or a man. And in the Garden of Eden, God gave an assignment to man and to a woman. Only woman could have a children, man cannot have it. And our modern science wants to say that we can. But they take a woman, make her into a man, and then she becomes pregnant, and they say, a man is having a baby. And everybody's like, wow. And then we find out, no, he's not really a man. It's a she man, you know. Not to offend. Love you all. Love she men's too. They're children of God. Amen. There is a gender purpose. If you're a man, God called you to protect, to have dominion, to provide, to protect Eve, to take care of your family. That's a purpose. So if you don't know the three other purposes, because there's four, I came up with them kind of on a spot. So just theologically, I don't know if they measure up or pass the test, but just common sense. As a man, you know what you're supposed to do. When you get 13, guys, you know the attraction you feel towards a woman. The society didn't give you that. Come on. It's a purpose that's been put in you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an instinct. You can see it in animals too. They hit certain age, spring, and meow. Too much? So it's called a gender purpose. Every woman, there's exceptions, but we're not talking about exceptions. There's all kinds of exceptions, but we're talking about general purpose for man and a woman is to be married, to have a family, and to procreate. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Guys, you don't know what your purpose is? Number one purpose, your gender purpose. Ladies, your gender purpose, right there. See how simple? And we complicate it. What's my purpose? I'll sleep with every girl I find, and I'm still looking for a purpose. I have babies everywhere, but I'm still looking for a purpose. Hey, slow down. Your number one purpose is your gender purpose. Take care of your children. Take care of your woman. Take care of your man. Take care of your... Be a good father. Be a good mother. Your gender purpose. But that's... what everybody does. I want some special. You have the same father. He gave you ability to be a dad, to be a mom, to be a man, to be a woman. And you say it's not enough? What did God rob you of something? Is God a thief? Stole your purpose by giving you what he gave everybody? You know why he gave it to everybody? Because how important it is to everybody. He didn't rob any human being of that number one called gender purpose. Amen. He didn't rob you. It would be cruel for him not to give you that. Gender purpose. That's why you guys are attracted to the ladies, and ladies, you're attracted to the guys. It's because it's part of your purpose. Number two, are you ready for this? I call it your gifting purpose. Every human being. Now, this one is a little different because every human being has different giftings. So after you discover that you're a man and your purpose for being a man or a woman and your purpose for being a woman, the next step is now you have to discover what is your gift. Because every single individual has been given a gift. Some of you are called into medical field to heal bodies. That's your gift. God gave you that to serve other people. Some of you are called into science. Does God call people into science? Yes. Some of you, God called you into business. You'll have to discover that. Some of you got called into music and arts. Some of you got called into the legal system. Some of you got called into the service system, meaning where you serve in a restaurant, or you serve in a hotel, or you serve into house cleaning, whatever. God gave you a purpose, a gifting. And your goal is to discover what are you good at, so you can worship God and give Him glory with your gifting. What is your gift? I don't know my gift. You know how many tests there are online to discover your gift? I need God to tell me that, Pastor. I don't trust Google. You trust Google for everything else. But when it comes to your gifting, and God says, you know, just look at the birds. It's not all in the Bible. Some of it, you got to look at the birds. I think it's all in the Bible, because look at the birds is in the Bible. So it points you to the right direction. It's a guidebook, guides you in the right direction. And so you're gifting. What is your purpose in life? What is your gift? Maybe you're called to be a mechanic. That's important. Maybe you're called to be a doctor. That's really important. Maybe you're called to be a tree man. And that's very important, because an old lady cannot sleep at night, worry about a branch rubbing against the roof. And when you cut that branch off, she's like, thank you. Whatever you're called to, discover that and do it to the best of your ability. So purpose number one is gender. Purpose number two is what? Gifting. Now purpose number three, are you ready for this one? I like to call it a special assignment purpose. For example, we all have, there's many mechanics here. There's many medical field people here, musicians here, right? It's not just one. But there is, I believe, something super special about you. Like pastors, that's a gifting. That's number two. Being a pastor is number two, not number three. Number three is a special purpose. Like Abraham, God called him to do what? To be the father of many nations. Are you called to be a father of any nation? Many nations? Anybody here has been called the father or mother of many nations? No. Thank you for your honesty. We're not called that. Why? Because it's a special, unique to Abraham. Joseph, he was called to go into and be a slave first, then to go into prison second, and then become a prince of Egypt. Has anybody here been called to be prince of Egypt? What does that mean? It's a special purpose. David, special purpose. Moses, commandment, special purpose. There's nobody like Moses, or ever will be. Apostle Paul, special purpose. Samson, I don't care how strong you are, you're not Samson. Special purpose. Now, I don't think God is done with special purposes. I believe He gives each person a special purpose. Now, this one is a little trickier, because it's kind of hard to figure out. There's only one David. The rest are millions of Israelites hiding, biting their nails, while David is throwing a rock at Goliath. No, we're not all Davids. Now, we can draw a lot of parallels from Davids and our own purpose and our own special calling, but we're not David. But I do believe that every person here has been given by God a special purpose. Find out. What is that special purpose? And I think we spend a lifetime finding out. But I don't think everybody finds that out. I don't. But one and two is enough. So two out of three, we got it. What if you don't find out what your special purpose is? What if your special purpose is to be number one, to be a good mother? That's your special purpose. See how it's intertwined? So maybe you'll never have something like David had, or maybe history won't write about you or me. But does that mean I didn't matter and I didn't fulfill my purpose? What if my purpose is to give birth to a child or to a grandchild, or, you know, to who will achieve something? You see what I mean? Don't get tripped up on the special purpose part, because it could be fulfilled in number one or number two, gender purpose or in your gifting purpose. I feel like my two and three are intertwined. My purpose is to bring people closer to Jesus, but it's also my gifting. You see what I mean? Maybe your purpose is to teach children in a children's school, in our kids' church, and imparting to them. And maybe that's your purpose and special purpose. Because what if the next president is somebody under your tutelage, under your education? You see what I mean? So don't get tripped up on this number three, special purpose. Maybe your special purpose is to be the best dad you could be and raise the children so they love God. That's good enough. That's fulfilling. Don't get stuck. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not Brad Pitt or Britney Spears or Ariana Grande. I'm just me. Number one, gender. Number two, gifting. You have some gift. You have actually one, two, or five. Remember what Jesus said? Some were given one talent, some were given two, some were given five. So in the gifting area, most of you are gifted multiple times, not just one. And number three, wow, time is running out. Number four, what is my purpose? I call it the spiritual purpose. Write this down, spiritual purpose. Every human being has a spiritual purpose. That's why if you can fulfill one, two, and three, and you can still try to commit suicide. Because there's one more, something bigger and something eternal. It's called your spiritual purpose. You were created to worship your Creator. You were created to be in relationship with Him. Your purpose was not just to make babies, not just to find your gift and serve others and make money off that gift, not just to find that special something only you are good at, but also you were created to worship and be in communion and being connected, plugged into your Creator. That's what we do at New Life Churches. We bring people closer to Jesus. We plug them in into the Creator. And then we try to increase their capacity from receiving. When you start with God, it's like this pipe, little tiny pipe, you know, connected to you. And as you grow closer to Jesus, that pipe gets bigger. And so relationship with God gets clearer and better. In every culture, not just Christian culture, we know that there's something bigger, something like a spirit. And we know there is a Creator. Native American culture, they look for their Creator. All European, they look for God and Thor and whatever they were worshiping. Right? They looked for that because we know God has created man and put eternity in our hearts. So man would seek Him and they would find Him if they seek Him with all of their heart. You know when God is going to be found and close to you? When you do it from all of your heart. With all of your heart. With all of your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and all your strength. Four purposes. You know when the barn swallow experiences the most freedom? When it's doing what God has called it to do. Part of it is flying. For me, it's not flying. I don't have big arms with wings, with feathers. But I can look at the birds, and I can find out what freedom looks like. It's not just sitting in a cage with everything provided. That means while the bird is flying and enjoying the flight, it's also doing insect control, eating all the bugs and mosquitoes that were to bite you and give you malaria or whatever, West Nile virus, right? So it's doing a purpose. It's also providing for its children. It's building a house, providing for its children. Freedom is in all of that. And some of you, wow, freedom is hard. It is. Freedom is hard. That's why if you look at history, human beings have always abdicated their freedom to somebody else. We know better how to live under bondage than freedom. More people know how to live under bondage and control than freedom. I grew up in a communist nation. I know that it's easier to live in bondage. You know, because they tell you what to wear, what to eat, what to believe, what music to listen to, and what movies to watch. It all comes from I can't even translate that word, but it all comes from the government, from the top 1%, and they think for you. And if we in America are not careful, we will give up that freedom for the government to take care of us. But when a bird is in a cage and it's provided for all its need, it's never free. And it can never be free. Freedom comes from our Creator. Freedom comes from finding out your purpose and doing that purpose and managing your own life. Thank you, God. Freedom is finding your purpose. It's taking responsibility. It's not, listen to this, freedom is not life without restraint. Freedom is life of self-management. But human beings have always needed help. And here's what we do. We either go to God or we will go to somebody else who promises us freedom. One of the founders of our nation said this, people willing to trade their freedom for temporary security or, can I add, promise of provision, deserve neither and will. Let me read it again. People willing to trade their freedom for temporary security. I add here, or promise of provision, we will provide for you. Deserve neither and will lose both. Freedom is not all your needs met. It's process of being met. God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory, meaning not in one day for the rest of your life. God does not bring a bowl of bugs into the nest of the barn swallow and say, eat. The barn swallow would get so fat that it couldn't fly. Some of us are so fat we can't fly. And now we're depressed because true freedom and fulfilling our purpose for a bird is flying. And I'm too fat to fly. I'm not talking about your physical, you know. I'm talking about your spirit. Your soul is so fat it can't fly. It's so provided for it can't fly. You need to be more generous so you can be lighter. Man, I'm running out of time. Stuff is like, God, where is it coming from? Last point. I was driving to the city dump. And I heard somebody said something bad about me. And it was not the first thing. It was like a series. You know, sometimes when bad things happen, they just kind of like a domino effect. And I'm dark on the inside. And God said, that's part of life. That's part of your freedom. And He says, baby, you're flying. Fly. And you know, I said, you're right, God. This is just part of freedom. I stretched my hands and I said, baby, I'm flying. See, a barn swallow doesn't just fly when it's sunny. But when it rains, it flies. Look outside. When it's a thunderstorm, it flies. Rain or shine, it flies. It's cold outside or not, it flies. There's problems at your work. God's saying, fly. That's part of freedom. Your children are being crazy. Fly, mama. Fly. The opposite is get locked up in a cage and close the door for a while. Before you know it, that door is welded shut and now you can't get out. So no matter what's happening today in your life, God says, get out there and fly. Amen. Get out there and live. Get out there and do your job. My manager's bad. Get out there and fly. You don't wait to fly for perfect conditions. Get out there and fly when it's cold. Get out there and fly when you don't have any friends. Get out there and fly when you have haters. Get out there and fly when your business is doing good. Or maybe when your business is not doing good. When he is there or he left, get out there and fly. When she's staying with you and loving you, or if she left you, get out there and fly. Fly, baby, fly. If the economy is good, get out there and fly. If the economy sucks, get out there and fly. If the Democrat got elected, get out there and fly. If a Republican got elected, get out there and fly. Fly, baby, fly. The freedom is in the purpose. And it's not meant to be kept on the inside. It has to go out. David says, Lord, teach me how to number my days so I would have a wise heart. You know the biggest tragedy in the world, especially in America? Wasted time. Time abuse. We abuse time. We waste it. And time doesn't wait for anybody, so it just keeps going. Don't waste your life in the cage. Whatever that cage is, addiction, pleasures, whatever it is, get out there and fly in the name of Jesus. Were you blessed by this message? I'm going to read this verse once again. Matthew 6, 26. Remember this. Look at the birds. Now, I want to focus on the second part. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable? You're more valuable than birds. The world tells us, no, the animal kingdom is more valuable. No, you are. Aren't you far, far more valuable to Him, than they are? They're important. They're over here. You're over here. How are you thinking about yourself? A lot of times the devil lies to us and tells us what we're not. Remind him what you are. More, far more valuable to him.